Cirrus Design announces a new CEO. GA pilots face tighter security at many airports. And early reviews are good for our next transportation secretary. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, December 19th, 2008. There will soon be a new man leading Cirrus Design, and it isn't a Clapmeyer. Brent Wouters is the current president and chief operating officer of the Duluth, Minnesota-based plane maker, and the company announced on Thursday that effective February 1st, he'll add CEO stripes, taking over from Alan Clapmeyer. Alan will continue as chairman of the board, and his brother Dale will remain vice chair. Wouters told the Duluth News Tribune, quote, "This is a very good opportunity for me, but I can't say enough about the foundation that Alan and Dale have built for this company," unquote. Wouters came on board in 2002 as the chief financial officer at Cirrus, leaving a similar role at private equity firm International Payment Services. He started out in the aviation industry as an aircraft simulator engineer at Delta Airlines. He's been president and chief operating officer at Cirrus since March. Industry sources tell the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association this week the Transportation Security Administration has issued a security directive that extends requirements for background checks to general aviation pilots based at airports served by the airlines. If you're based at an airport with scheduled airline service, that means you'll have to have a background check and get an ID badge to get to your plane. AOPA notes transient pilots, already subject to escorting and monitoring requirements, will face no additional restrictions. Up until now, most airports have not required these checks because of a long-standing security policy that exempts general aviation operations separated by time and distance from airline operations. Andy Cibula, AOPA's Executive Vice President of Government Affairs, seems surprised by this latest solution looking for a problem. Quote, "Pilots have long operated without incident on these airports, and it is surprising that the TSA appears to have implemented such a significant new mandate with no notification or discussion. It will have a significant impact on pilots and airports in many small communities across the country," unquote. Stay tuned. There's bound to be more industry reaction to this development. Major aviation groups are responding favorably to the news that President-elect Barack Obama has chosen Republican Illinois Congressman Ray LaHood for the post of Transportation Secretary. As we reported, LaHood's record indicates he'll support funding airport improvements and ATC modernization. Greg Principato, president of Airports Council International North America, commented, quote, "Aviation in the United States faces a number of critical issues, including the need to boost investment in infrastructure and modernization of our outdated air traffic control system. These issues cry out for the kind of bipartisan action and leadership that have been the hallmark of Congressman LaHood's career," unquote. National Business Aviation Association President Ed Bolin calls LaHood, quote, "an effective public servant with a solid grasp of transportation policy, as demonstrated by his work on the House Appropriations Committee," unquote. Craig Fuller, incoming president of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, notes LaHood's Appropriations Committee, quote, "has adamantly opposed aviation user fees, and with that experience, his input at the White House should be helpful to GA," unquote. Fuller also notes the long-standing relationship LaHood enjoys with Obama and his staff, assuring his voice will be heard in the administration. The nomination will still require approval by the U.S. Senate. The National Transportation Safety Board is investigating an incident in which a Delta Airlines Boeing 777 experienced an uncommanded engine rollback in the cruise phase of an intercontinental flight. On November 26th, near Great Falls, Montana, the crew of the flight from Shanghai to Atlanta made a precautionary descent to 31,000 feet after the right engine, a Rolls-Royce Trent 895, lost power. The engine recovered and responded normally afterwards, and the flight landed at Atlanta without further incident. Investigators are taking the incident especially seriously after a similar uncommanded power rollback affected both Trent 895 engines on a British Airways jet on approach to land at London Heathrow Airport in January. That plane crashed short of the runway, shearing off the main gear and causing other extensive damage. While 18 passengers were treated for minor injuries, there were no fatalities. While a final report has not been issued in that case, investigators have focused on the possibility of ice crystals forming in fuel lines due to a larger-than-normal amount of water in the fuel, combined with extremely cold temperatures along the flight's polar route from Beijing. The fact that this latest incident also happened to a plane which had refueled in China has eyebrows raised. Up next on ANN, merger talks between British Airways and Qantas reach a dead end. The NTSB wants us to pay closer attention to airframe icing. And aerospace firms warn the next boots on the moon will probably be made in China. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 19th. I'm Paul Plack. The specter of British Airways displacing Delta as the world's largest airline has disappeared, at least for now. Bloomberg reports British Airways has ended talks with Australia's Qantas after the two companies couldn't agree on the ownership split, according to BA spokesman Tony Kane. The combined carrier would have boasted $24 billion in sales and almost 500 planes. Bloomberg notes that one complicating factor in the talks was valuation of each side. British Airways has about 30% more revenue, but Qantas has a market valuation about 10% higher than BA's. The UK's largest airline is also carrying considerable pension debt. British Airways used to own a 25% stake in Qantas, but completed selling that off in 2004. The global economic recession apparently brought second thoughts, and BA was also reportedly under pressure from Spain's Iberia Airlines to strike a deal with Qantas as a condition for further consolidation with the Spanish carrier. The failure of the talks with Qantas appears to leave British Airways short on potential merger partners, at least for now. Jeff Van Claveren, an analyst at Exane BNP Paribas in London, has rated BA's stock at underperform and was not excited about the merger idea. Quote, "The bottom line is that there probably weren't many synergies. This means BA is now running out of options in the consolidation race," unquote. Iberia has so far had no official comment on the collapse of the talks between BA and Qantas. Officials of the Spanish carrier reportedly had concerns similar to those of Qantas execs, namely pension debt and post-merger control. The National Transportation Safety Board issued a safety alert Thursday titled, "Activate Leading Edge De-Ice Boots as Soon as Airplanes Enter Icing Conditions." NTSB Acting Chairman Mark Rosanker explained, quote, "This safety alert, directed to the pilot community, is intended to increase the visibility of airplane icing issues and address procedures taught regarding the accumulation of ice before activating de-ice boots," unquote. The alert was approved by all five board members. Among its highlights, as little as a quarter inch of ice can be deadly. As little as a quarter inch of leading edge ice can increase the stall speed 25 to 40 knots, and early activation of the de-ice boots limits the effects of leading edge ice and improves the operating safety margin. The safety alert states that leading edge de-ice boots should be activated as soon as icing is encountered, unless the aircraft flight manual or the pilot's operating handbook specifically directs otherwise. In the alert, pilots are instructed to closely watch airspeed and any unusual handling qualities if the aircraft manual or POH allows for accumulation of ice before activating the boots, and to turn off or limit the use of the autopilot in order to better feel changes in the handling qualities of the airplane. The Aerospace Industries Association, which lobbies for aerospace contractors, is invoking a classic tactic to pressure the incoming Obama administration to maintain spending in its sector. Former FAA Administrator and current AIA President Marion Blakey told the Reuters Aerospace and Defense Summit in Washington, "We might soon have company on the surface of the moon." Noting high-profile lunar missions by China and India in recent months, Blakey commented, quote, "It's been a long time since we've had anyone breathing down our necks. Now we do. The idea that the next boots on the moon are probably going to be Chinese is something that the public has not realized," unquote. The last man to walk on the moon was U.S. Apollo astronaut Gene Cernan in 1972. Most of the contractors who built the hardware for the Apollo missions are still around and still members of AIA. Arguing for a long-term perspective, Blakey dismissed the current economic recession as a valid excuse for curtailing or delaying spending in aerospace. Quote, I do not believe the American people will trade off the importance of exploring what clearly is the next frontier in the middle of short-term economic duress, unquote. The association points out that aerospace supports more than 2 million well-paid jobs in all 50 United States. It's the season for giving, but a gift from Russia to Lebanon isn't making anyone feel too merry. Rumors that Russia would offer the government of Lebanon deep discounts on a number of MiG-29s have turned out to be mistaken. It turns out the 10 planes will be given to Lebanon at no cost at all. The Times Online reports the gift is part of an agreement on military technical assistance. Mikhail Dmitriev, head of Russia's Defense Cooperation Service, is quoted as saying the jets would be taken from Russia's existing fleet. He added that supplies of heavy armor to Beirut from Moscow are, quote, now possible after the situation in this country has stabilized. We view the Lebanese army as the main guarantor of this nation's stability. Therefore, the armed forces of this country must be strengthened, unquote. Officials of Israel may have cause for concern. The MiG-29 is one of Russia's best fighters and a huge step up from the 5 outdated Hawker Hunter jets and 16 helicopters currently in the Lebanese fleet. The growing influence of the Islamic militant group Hezbollah in Lebanon makes the new hardware a major concern, and the RIA Novosti News Service reports Lebanese officials also want Russian tanks, anti-tank rockets, air defense systems, and helicopters. Syria, another enemy of Israel which has received military aid from the Russians, had also reportedly been interested in obtaining not only MiG-29s, but modern SAM S-300 air defense missiles. Moscow has said publicly it will not provide those systems to Syria. Still ahead, ATR begins ground testing of its upgraded 600 series turboprops. A French pilot says his mistake didn't belong in criminal court. And a British airline captain tells passengers he's not qualified to land the plane. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design. Maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, December 19th. I'm Paul Platt. The French aircraft manufacturer ATR announced this week the start of ground testing for its prototype 600 series aircraft. With tests of the upgrade turboprop airliner's electrical systems and its new generation avionics suite, after integrating the first software package provided by Thales. Luigi Lombardi, ATR Senior VP of Operations, notes, quote, "We are proud of starting the ground test of the aircraft. We congratulate our teams, which are working around the clock. Thanks to such efforts, we are complying with the development calendar of the 600 series ATRs," unquote. The new ATR 42-600 and 72-600 will feature a completely new avionics suite, new Pratt & Whitney 127M engines, and boast an increase of 661 pounds to rated maximum takeoff weight. The company also claims improvements in fuel consumption per passenger and carbon emissions. The ATR 72-600 is expected to make its maiden flight next summer, with entry into service scheduled for early 2011. A French private pilot has been fined and had his license suspended as a result of a September incident in which he flew his Cessna 172 too close to a Falcon 900, carrying Prime Minister François Fillon. AFP News reports Xavier Thierry's plane strayed into the jet's path as it descended toward an airbase near Paris. The incident occurred in restricted airspace and forced Fillon's jet to take evasive action. Police arrested Thierry the next day and charged the engineer with deliberately ignoring safety procedures and endangering life. A court in Versailles convicted him on Monday, revoking his pilot license for 18 months and levying a fine equivalent to $2,100 U.S. Thierry told reporters he knows he made a mistake and he doesn't feel the matter should have been handled by a criminal court. His lawyer may appeal the ruling. But he says he won't let the incident discourage him from getting back in the air. Quote, "Flying is my passion and this hasn't put me off it," unquote. If you plan a trip somewhere with a non-instrument-rated private pilot in a general aviation aircraft, You should be prepared for the possibility that unexpected poor visibility will force him to abandon your original destination. That's just good aeronautical decision-making, and it should give you confidence in his judgment. But what if you've paid for a flight on a commercial airliner, and your pilot says he's turning back because of IMC? You're not likely to be quite as favorably impressed. Breitbart reports that that very thing happened to passengers on a British Flybe airliner on a trip from Cardiff to Charles de Gaulle Airport in France. Just minutes before landing in Paris, the pilot reportedly got on the PA and told the astonished passengers that he was not qualified to land the airplane in fog and was turning back. A spokeswoman for the low-cost airline explained. She said the pilot was, quote, an experienced aviator with more than 30 years commercial aviation experience, flying a number of different passenger aircraft types. He has relatively recently transferred his type rating from a Bombardier Q300 to a Bombardier Q400 and has not yet completed the requisite low visibility training to complete a landing in conditions such as the dense fog experienced in Paris Charles de Gaulle. The captain therefore quite correctly turned the aircraft around and returned to Cardiff, a decision which the company stands by 100%, unquote. And civil aviation officials agree. One passenger, though, 29-year-old Cassandra Grant, said she ended up missing an appointment for a job interview in Paris. Quote, the whole thing beggars belief. If I had not been on the plane, I would not have believed it, unquote. You know, the next time you're tempted to complain about your flight on a low-cost carrier in the U.S., just remember this story. You know, it could be worse. And finally, radar operators at NORAD, the North American Aerospace Defense Command, have had help staying awake in front of their screens lately, as Russia has returned to stepped-up airspace challenges by its Cold War-era Bear bombers. But it won't be the Bears keeping those guys awake this coming Wednesday night. NORAD is preparing for the annual ritual of tracking Santa on behalf of young insomniacs throughout North America. The NORAD Tracks Santa website went live December 1st, featuring fun holiday games and activities that change daily. On Christmas Eve, NORAD will begin tracking Santa Claus's journey via live video feeds that begin at 3 a.m. Pacific, 6 a.m. Eastern Time. The website was designed by Booz Allen Hamilton and allows fans of all ages to get up-to-the-minute reports and streaming videos from key stops on Santa's trip around the world. Google software will output live images from NORAD's high-speed digital Santa cams, and Google Maps and Google Earth will follow Santa as he travels around the world. You can follow the fun in English, French, German, Italian, Japanese, Spanish, and, new this year, Chinese. Also for the first time, Canada Post will partner with NORAD to ensure children around the world can send an email to Santa through the NORAD Tracks Santa website, with help from many corporate partners. The annual Santa tracking by NORAD dates back to December 24, 1955, when a local child incorrectly dialed a number in a newspaper ad and reached the Continental Air Defense Command Operations Center in Colorado Springs. The commander who answered the phone that night gave the youngster a report on Santa's position. The tradition was continued by NORAD when it was formed in 1958, making this Christmas the program's 50th anniversary. The popularity of the event has grown wildly since it hit the internet in 1998. Last year, the website got over 10 million visitors, and over 1,000 volunteers manning the phones fielded almost 95,000 phone calls and 140,000 emails. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, we'll hear that special moment from AOPA Expo when 18-year President Phil Boyer passed the baton to incoming President Craig Fuller. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.